Good morning and greet you in Jesus' name. Glad to be with you and glad to another opportunity to worship with other believers and be encouraged that way. If you recall, over the last couple of months, I brought a message or two that related to our future. One of the messages was titled, What Happens When I Die? And more recently was the message, What Happens When Jesus Returns? And now this morning, I'd like to bring a message on the final state. What is our final state when the consummation of all things and everything's said and done and all the dust settles, and where will we be? What is our final state? What is the state of the righteous? What is the state of those that don't know God and those that have not accepted Christ and God's provision for them? We looked at the intermediate state, and there's various beliefs in how this will all take place and in what order and all of that, and I just ask you to bear with me this morning. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, and perhaps my understanding of these things may differ a little bit from yours. And I'm just going to explain this the way I believe it and the way I understand the scriptures. We looked at the intermediate state, and as I studied that and what happens when I die, you know, there was a time that I believe that when we die, we go to heaven and that's that. Or the sinner that dies, he goes to a place of eternal torment. We call it hell. And as I studied this, it's not quite the way the scriptures teach it. We do go to heaven, and I can agree with that. And it's a place of conscious bliss and comfort, and the righteous will be at a place where everything will be right. But in that intermediate state, we talked about it, we will not have bodies. Our soul will be there, but our body won't be. When we studied the message on the what happens when Jesus returns, one of the things that happens when Jesus returns that all those that died in the past are going to come with him. And at that point, there's going to be a resurrection of their bodies, and their resurrected bodies that come out of the grave will go up, and they'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you'll recall, we also talked a little bit in that message about the thousand-year reign of Christ that it talks about in Revelation 20, and kind of ended up there with Satan was bound 1,000 years, or he was bound 1,000 years, and then he was loosed for a little season. And I'd like to pick it up from there this morning, and from there it's sort of the consummation of everything, and everybody is assigned their destiny at that point. And I'd like to talk about that this morning. And it's a serious subject to talk about. And I don't want to strike fear in anyone's heart that is prepared to meet God, and I don't want to pose a lot of questions that make you question your salvation, but I would like a message like this to speak to every one of our hearts, and that we would realize how serious the choices that we make today and where we are today and the opportunities that we have today. What are we doing with them? Are we taking them seriously, or are we somehow just floating along? I'm going to begin by reading from Revelation 20. And I'd like you to turn to your Bibles there if you have them. Revelation 20 and verse 7. And I'd like to read to the end of the chapter there. In the beginning here. These verses describe the fate of the devil himself, and also the fate of all those who followed the devil and rejected Christ. They also describe the resurrection of all those that did not experience that first resurrection that we talked about at the time of the rapture. They're also chapter 20 and verse 4, I believe, I saw the thrones, they that sat upon them, judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a resurrection. We believe that. Those that died in Christ will be resurrected. And during the tribulation, if I understand it right, there's going to be those that have an opportunity, that had not had an opportunity before. There's going to be those that are saved during that tribulation period. And from what I read in the Bible, everyone that is willing to stand with Christ and accept Christ during that time will give their life for the gospel. They will be martyred. And those are the ones that it's talking about there in verse 4 and 5, the resurrection that's taking place there. And so verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So first of all, I'd like to look at the final state of the wicked. And I believe what I just read here is what we're talking about. The final state of the wicked. The final state of those that have rejected God and have rejected Jesus Christ. And when opportunities came to live for God and to accept Christ, they rejected them. And I believe it's also talking about those that could talk a good game and talk right and profess to be a Christian and really didn't live in obedience. I think it's talking about them as well. Just a couple things here. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. Verse 13, it says, The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. This morning, I want to make it clear that everyone will be there. Everyone will be there. Not one person will be missed. And that's, there's a lot of people today that go to great means to try to somehow, you know, they hear these stories of a resurrection, and there's going to be a resurrection. And they go to great lengths to make sure when that resurrection takes place, it's not going to be them. They get cremated, they scatter their ashes, and they go to great lengths. I'm not saying that everybody that chooses cremation, that's what they're trying to do, but I do believe that there are some that have gone to great lengths to make sure this doesn't happen. The Bible says that the dead, small and great, will stand before God. And the sea is going to give up the dead that were in it. Everyone will be there. Not one will be missed. Number two, another observation from this passage. The books are going to be opened. And I'm not sure. The Bible talks about the things that we do, the choices that we make, God is keeping track of. And he's writing those things down. And they're in the books. It also talks about the book of life. And when we repent, when we repent and our names are written in the book of life, God records our name in the book of life. For those whose names are not in the book of life, the books will be opened. And the things that they have done, the things that they thought were hidden, the things they thought that no one knew about, it's going to be in full display. There it is. And I don't know how that judgment scene will all appear. But I know that it's going to happen. It will happen. The Bible tells me so right here, that the dead will be judged. Out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. The thing that, when we think about this, the thing that is so precious is that our names can be written in the book of life, and God records our names there, and then all these other things in the books can be canceled out. And I'm glad that I can hold something like that in front of every one of us this morning. Those that their names are not written in the book of life, they'll stand before God without an advocate, without forgiveness, totally condemned. Condemned and guilty before God for eternity. Hebrews 10 and verse 27. We have this verse. It says that in verse 26 and 27 of Hebrews 10, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." If we choose to reject truth that we know, and we've been given opportunity, and we understand what truth is, and we reject that, that's sinning willfully. Verse 27, "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." That's what anyone has to look forward to, that their name is not in the book of life. Dread and fear and shame. Verse 15, Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is as clear as I can, as any place in Scripture. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is no other option. I have nothing else to hold out to you. Your name, it needs to be in the book of life. It says that those that weren't were cast into the lake of fire. And I don't know, I don't know that I'm prepared to explain to you. And I don't know that I can explain to you, even in the horrors of hell and what the Bible has to say about that. It uses terminology that I can't imagine. There's things that I do understand, but when we talk about a lake of fire, I can't comprehend that. And we'll look at some things here in a little, but the Bible does tell us about hell. And it says that it's a real place. And it also says that we don't need to experience it. There's not one of us here this morning that needs to go there. We all have an opportunity to do something about it today. Just a number of things that the Bible has to tell us about this lake of fire we call hell. Number one, hell is a place. Hell is actually a place. And it's not just a mental condition, or somehow our minds are fooling us into thinking that that's what we're experiencing. Hell is an actual place. And if you go back to Luke chapter 16, and this passage is, we looked at this and the message, what happens when I die. And I believe this is what took place right after these two men died, the rich man and Lazarus. But what the rich man was experiencing at the consummation of all things, it's an extension of that. It's just an extension of that, more of the same. And in verse 28, the point I'm trying to make that hell is actually a place. He was talking to Abraham. There was a conversation between the rich man and Abraham, and he said, "For I have five brethren." He wanted Lazarus to go talk to him, and he said, "I want him to go testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment." It's an actual place. The second thing about hell, God did not prepare hell for people. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, it tells us what he actually did prepare it for. Matthew 25 and verse 41, and this is when the sheep and goats were separated. He was talking to those on the left hand. He said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And notice it says, "Prepared for the devil and his angels." The reason God prepared, made a place like hell, was the final abode of the devil himself and his demons and angels. God prepared a totally different place for his people. And he wanted every single person to go to this place, and we'll look at it in a little. But it was God's intention wasn't that any person goes to hell. He prepared a different place for us. But any that today that carelessly and deliberately refuse God's offer of salvation and grace will share the same fate as the devil and his angels. Number three, relation to hell. Who's going to be there? Who will be there? we looked at this a little already, but back to Revelation 20 and verse 10, it says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet were already there. So the devil and his angels will be there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 to 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Another group of people that won't be there are all those who obey not the gospel. All those that have rejected God's provision of salvation. Those that try by their own efforts and their own works, that think that somehow they're good enough to get into heaven without the provision that Jesus made. They're going to be there. Because in and of their own efforts, they're not good enough. It's not going to keep them out of a place called hell. All those who claim Jesus is their Lord, but turn around and live as they please, they're going to also be there. And we have those familiar verses in, I believe it's in Matthew 7, where Jesus said that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to profess and say, I know you. You know, I lived for you. I've cast out devils. And Jesus says, depart from me. I don't know you. I never knew you. They're going to be there. Revelation 21. And verse 8. We have a catalog of sins and vices that characterize those who will be banished to the lake of fire. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is a catalog of sins and vices that are going to keep people out of heaven and turn them into hell. Murders, immoral people, those that have indulged in immorality, idolaters, those that are serving something other than God himself. And that one can catch us so easily. Liars. Matthew 24 and verse 51 tell us that there's going to be a lot of hypocrites there. All of these will have their part in the lake of fire. Number 4. Hell is a place of torment and suffering that we can't imagine. Only the doomed who go there will know the depth of agony and awful suffering. Different places in the Gospels, Jesus had a lot to tell us about hell and that it is an actual place, but he talks about it different times. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Intense agony and suffering. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Matthew 22 and verse 13. We have this verse. And it's at the end of one of the stories that Jesus told about the kingdom of heaven. He said, Then said the king to the servants, bind this man hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's one I can't imagine. When I think of a lake of fire, I think of something that's, a lake of fire has to be bright. The Bible tells us that it's going to be a lake of fire, but it's going to be black darkness. Have you ever been somewhere where it was total darkness? There's very few places that you can lock yourself in a room or something like that where it's and there's no light, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I think that's what it's going to be. There's going to be that physical darkness. What's more than that, it's an absence of God. And it's going to be total spiritual darkness as well. And I can't fathom that. I really can't. We live where there's light. There's a lot of people that we know that are the light of the world and are light, and we are to be light. God is light. God himself is light. And we can't imagine outer darkness where there's total spiritual darkness. Also, hell is a place of memory and remorse. And again, back to Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Abraham had this to say to the rich man. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. I think hell, one of the horrors, one of the torments of hell, will be the memory of how this, the choices that I made that I could have made differently, and there's going to be a lot of people that if only I had done things differently, if only my choices would have been different, and they so easily could have been. Memories of squandered opportunities. And I think they'll be as vivid and as clear as if they happened just yesterday. I think they'll all be there. Revelation 20. In verse 10, hell isn't something that is going to last a week or two or three or a month or a year, but it says in verse 10 of Revelation 20, they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'm sorry, but I can't explain to you this morning what forever and ever is. My little mind can't comprehend that. It's just on and on and on and on. I think 40 years seems like a fairly long time. When I think of something that happened 40 years ago, I can easily remember that. But you know, we sing that song sometimes. Where will you be in a million years from now? A million years. I mean, I think 100 years is a long time. I think 1,000, a million years. And eternity has just begun. That's a long time. Today, when we look at the horrors of hell and a subject like this, and there's a lot of people that say, you know, how can a loving God send a person to a place like that? And I'm not sure that I can really explain that to you. But by the authority of God's word and the scriptures that we read this morning, it's true. It's absolutely true that there's we serve a God that's fair and just, and by the authority of God's word. This is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. God's word is sure. And what it says, what we read in God's word, it means. And that's exactly the way it's going to be. Hell is a real place. And only those whose names are written in the book of life can avoid it. And I'm glad that I can hold that out to every one of you this morning. Now, I'd like to, for the last part of the message, I'd like to talk about the final state of the righteous. And I'm glad that I can talk to a group of people that I look into your face and I really believe that I'll see you there. And I can look forward to eternity with you. And I'd like to talk about that for a little while yet. The final state of the righteous, and I'm going to read a couple verses from Revelation 21. There's a lot of, we could spend the rest of our time reading verses and scriptures that tell us about heaven and the joys of heaven and the good things about heaven. And we could, I wouldn't need to say a word. We could be encouraged. Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Down to verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And then you follow through verses 19 to 21, and it's a description of the foundations and the gates of the city. There's a lot of minerals or elements here that I have no idea what they look like, but I'm sure it's a beautiful thing. I'll read verses 22 to 27 yet. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. These verses describe a place completely opposite of the place of pain and suffering that we were just talking about. Again, what we have in the scriptures, and these verses that I read, you go to chapter 22 and you read that. This description there, it's beyond my ability to fully comprehend. Or imagine, but I believe will only be realized when we experience it with our resurrected bodies. And I think one of the things about our resurrected bodies, our resurrected bodies will be able to experience pleasure and enjoy beauty like our bodies today can't. I think there's coming a time when our resurrected bodies, when God gives us resurrected bodies, they're going to be made in a way that it's much different than what we can experience today. Okay, just some things about the final state of the righteous. Verse 1 of chapter 21, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. Again, the new heaven and the new earth, they are a place. It's a place. It's not just some kind of apparition or just some kind of thing that'll be in our conscious. It's a place. The Bible says, I saw, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. It was a vision of what was going to take place in the future. Jesus told us in John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going away and I'm preparing a place for you. I'm actually preparing a place for you, not just something that you can dream about, but I'm preparing a place. And this new heaven and this new earth. And here again, I struggle to figure this and sort this all out in my own mind. But when we die, if we die, maybe Jesus will come back. But if we die, we go to this into this intermediate state, which we call heaven. And I believe that's right and fair. But at the consummation of all things, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And everyone will, I don't know how to say this for sure, but it's not something that some of the people will be there and come on in and see what we've been enjoying for. There's going to be something new for everyone, and everyone will colonize, or whatever you want to call it, this new heaven and this new earth at the same time. I really believe that's what it's saying here. This chapter 21, where it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's at the consummation of all things. The devil and all evil is turned into hell. And now there's a brand new day. I'm not sure what it is, but it's brand new. It's a new heaven and a new earth. And it's for us. It's for the people of God. We often talk about a person going to heaven, and we understand it to mean that it's where the soul of a righteous person goes when he dies, a place of comfort and conscious bliss. And like I said, I believe the final state is much more than that. The final dwelling place of the righteous will be this new heaven and new earth. And the new heaven that Jesus is preparing for us will be an actual, literal place. And another verse that I believe supports this, 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There it is again, this new heaven and this new earth. You know, when I read that and thought about that, it's just like the question came to me, and I'd like to just make point number three. What will heaven be like? What's heaven going to be like? And, you know, I used to think, you know, when I've read over these scriptures often, and going to heaven, streets of gold, just, you know, and but what's heaven going to be like? Where does this new earth come in? And what is that? And And I'd like to just suggest to you a few things. Scriptures give us many little glimpses and implications of what we will experience. If there wasn't some things about heaven that are going to be like earth that we know today, I don't think it would have used this terminology, this new earth. But it talks about a new earth and a new heaven. And I'm just going to turn back to Hebrews 11, verse 10. It's talking about Abraham. It says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And then over in verse 16, he says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Talks about the country and the city. And most of us like to say we live in the country. There's a few of us that maybe like to live in the city. I don't know. But the city and the country, and it's things we can relate to, and we know what it means. In a city, there's people and buildings and a lot of activity. And I believe that's what it means when it says that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. There's going to be things in heaven, there's going to be people, and there's going to be activities, and there's going to be buildings. It also describes heaven as a country in verse 16. And the Bible talks about there's trees in heaven, and there's water in heaven, and there's rivers in heaven. There's all those things as well. We see those. And I expect the new earth, the new heaven that God created, what we read about here in Revelation 21, I expect that new earth to be similar to what God created before the fall. I think there's a lot of things that the Bible says that when God created them, where he placed Adam and Eve, he put them in the Garden of Eden. And you read about that, and it seems like it just was pretty nice. A lot of beautiful things. And I think we can expect the new earth to be similar to what God created before the fall, only better. I think it's going to be much better yet. And there's not even going to be the thing that's going to be much, much, much better is that there's not even going to be the possibility of sin or temptation or the fall. That is all gone at this point. I encourage you to do some study yourself on what the Bible has to say about heaven. Another question that comes to me is, and I had to think about, what are we going to look like in heaven? Will I recognize you? Will I know you? And I believe we will. I believe we'll know each other. There's characteristics that our resurrected bodies will carry with us. And I thought back of Jesus when he rose from the dead. Now there was some that did not recognize him, but he was recognizable as a person. They recognized him. Jesus was recognizable in his resurrected body, and I expect that we will be too. I think the effects of aging, you know, probably the older we get, we can all go back and look at, well, I look better. Some things about me that look better back then. I think those things will be absent. Our resurrected bodies will be as physical as they are now, only they will be perfect. No aches, no pains, no sickness, no deformities, no... It's all going to be perfect. And maybe you think about things that your body now you'd like to change. I think we'll have a whole different idea of what... who we are and what And what are we going to do? I said, you know, eternity is, you know, a million years, and that, what are we going to do in eternity? We'll be with Christ. That's one of the things. We'll be with him, personally with him. Jesus told the thief in the cross, one of the things that he encouraged that thief in, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that's one of the things that we have to look forward to. We'll be with Jesus in his presence forever. Numerous places in the Revelation, it talks about worship and singing. They're mentioned. Verse 3 of Revelation 22, it says that there shall be no curse. The throne of God and the Lamb are going to be there. And his servants shall serve him. We're going to serve. We're going to work. We're not going there to just, you know, we're not going to just kick back and, you know. There's going to be things to do. Revelation 14:13 talks about rest. And it's going to be the kind of, not that we're dead tired, but it's the kind of resting that I believe God did back at the creation on the seventh day. It says on the seventh day God rested. And I think that's the kind of rest that we're going to experience in heaven. I think there's going to be fellowship. There's going to be time, you know, it's going to be time that we can sit together and fellowship. And I can only speculate. Ephesians 2 and verses 6 and 7. We have these verses. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And I believe there's some things about that, those verses, that we can apply to our lives today. But I think it's much, much broader than that. And I expect that in eternity, God or Jesus Christ will reveal to us his attributes and help us to understand his attributes in a much fuller way. And I believe he's going to help us to understand the mysteries of salvation and the many mysteries that we can't begin to comprehend today. Will we have our own homes in heaven? Jesus says in John 14, verse 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I believe it was at Almeida's funeral. Harold Good brought a message on this thing of mansions. And that word is translated rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. And I thought that was interesting. In my Father's house, at his estate, at his property, there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, and that's singular. And I believe that's individually. He's preparing a place for us individually. I don't know. I picture that in heaven, there'll be a place for each of God's children. I don't know how it's going to be. What won't be in heaven? What are some things that won't be? It'd be interesting to just open it up here. I'm not going to, but let your mind run. There's not going to be any death. There won't be any suffering, no pain, no tears, no funeral homes, no violence, no murder, no robbery, no accidents, no misunderstanding, no worry, no depression. There's no need for locks or fire alarms or glasses or hearing aids or pesticides. There'll be no weeds, no cancer, no bombs, no bills, no banks, no temptation, no tears, and we could keep going. It's all going to be the good things and things that we can only talk about this morning. Heaven is a perfect place for a saved and prepared people. We can't claim to be going there if our names are not in this book of life. And that's what makes it so serious. You know, the final state We only talked about two places. There's only two places that we talked about. And the reason is because the Bible says that there are only two places, and that every single person will be going to one of those two places. And it brings in front of us that million-dollar question. Well, it's not even a... We can't put a dollar value on it. Because, you know, God says that our soul is worth more than the whole world. But it's the question that each one of us must answer. Where will I be a million years from now? Where will you be a million years from now? God in His mercy has given us today. We have today. We're not promised another day. He's given us today. Let's make sure that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we can look at a subject like this and we know where we'll spend eternity. Let's kneel for prayer.